Since I last spoke to you, my friends of South Waterloo, events of overwhelming significance have occurred to us all. It is sufficient if I mention only a few of them. There is the ending of World War II. The cost of that conflict we can never compute. We can only remember it reverently as we think of the sacrifice in terms of human life and human endeavor we have been asked to pay. Those sacrifices have been open only to one interpretation. They have meant that our people were free and that they were determined to remain free. Above the hysterical cry of the enemy for innocent blood, over the past 6 years, we have heard, faintly but always with increasing rhythm, the sound of ultimate victory. That victory in recent weeks has come to hand. It is something so wonderful that we dare not analyze it. Those of us who are not privileged to serve in the field of conflict, however, must recognize the obligation in respect to the great post-war tasks that lie immediately before us. That obligation calls in the months immediately ahead for equality of sacrifice, for service, and for recognition of opportunity in the great post-war tasks that lie immediately before us. I say this to you in all seriousness and in all humility. We fail in our peacetime objective today. We shall have a national unity of a most temporary type at home, and we certainly shall be misunderstood abroad. No more gallant fighters were ever engaged in our nation's behalf than our own men and women, who during the past 6 years have worn the uniform of their country. They hand down to a proud posterity the distinction of their valor. History will well justify Prime Minister Churchill's prophecy that Britain's darkest days of 1940 would be her finest hour in 1,000 years. She sacrificed an old position in international finance, but gained a new place in the hearts of free men throughout the world. How well do we remember that great leader's stirring words when he said, "We shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the roads, and we shall fight in the fields." These gallant people fought on the beaches, but not the beaches of England. They fought on the roads, but not the roads of England. They fought in the fields, but not the fields of England. We think back to those harrowing days when old men and old women and little children, fleeing from a ruthless enemy, were machine gunned on the roads of the conquered countries. We think of those who suffered and died in those terrible prison camps. We hear their cries again. They are cries to us to make a new world where such things can never happen again. That is a task that lies before us as members of the House of Commons, to do our share in this work. Perhaps no parliament in the history of Canada will be watched more closely and their actions more keenly analyzed than the present one. In my next broadcast, I will endeavor to give you a picture of the House of Commons and of the membership in the various groups. It will be interesting to have an idea of the people who form our new parliament. The present government has a much reduced majority in the House. That certainly will make for better government. Perhaps one of the significant things about the election was the fact that a new party made a great bid for power. While they elected a few more members, the general complexion of the House shows that the Canadian people reject overwhelmingly the ideals of this new party. I realize this address must be nonpartisan, but I think it is only fair that we analyze the reason for the repudiation by the Canadian people of this new party, which was bidding so strenuously for their support. All down through history, our forefathers found that absolute power could not be entrusted to anyone. No matter how wise, no matter how democratic, our forefathers refused absolute power to anyone. They preferred rather to make their own choice and live their own lives, make their own mistakes and correct them. They had a society for all in which complete power against the individual, that means against each listener I have tonight, could not exist except temporarily in the case of war.